Good morning. It's a joy to be with you this morning. My name is Ben Kendra. I'm the campus pastor here. I'm just so thankful to be in the house of the Lord. That was beautiful worship, wasn't it? I don't know if you could. I was sitting right here and just watching our little ones, our kids, sing out and praise God. It is amazing. So I love that. So just a great time. As Sam already said, I want to encourage you. I want to invite you. This is my invite now to come back out tonight. I know there's going to be snow. And it's cold outside, but it's Pennsylvania in January, right? And we can do it. I believe we can do it. Do you believe we can do it? So come on back out tonight for worship night. It's going to be a good time. It'll be warm in here, okay? It'll be good with all the body heat and everything else and the Holy Spirit moving. It'll be good. So I invite you here Wednesday night. Also, we are having our prayer meetings. Our prayer meeting's back on Wednesday night. This is our last prayer meeting, at least in this season. It's been the last two times. Have been really great. So I want to invite you out as we pray over our campus and our people. There's a lot of stuff going on in this time, so I want to invite you to come out and to be a people of prayer. Amen. And then I just pray that your time of prayer and fasting this week is. I pray that God speaks to you in mighty ways. I pray that you're truly listening for what God has to say in that small still voice. In those times, I know it's been fruitful for me as well. So we're in our third week of our sermon series called Set Free. And the last couple weeks, we've kind of launched out of this verse in John chapter 8, where Jesus is speaking to the crowds. And prior to that, there's disunity amongst the people that he sees. There's all kinds of division. There's the Roman occupation that's going on. There's the teachers, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. There's all kinds of different things going on. And Jesus is seeing mindsets of the people that he's encountering. And in that mindsets that he's encountering, there are people that are kind of captured by negative thoughts. They're kind of like looking to like, this is a bad place to live right now. Or my physical ailment is keeping me from living the best life that I can live, right? And so Jesus says to them, he says in John chapter 8, verse 36, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And I want just to think about that for just a second, that as we say that, and it's on Christian stuff everywhere, right? And you can order things with this verse on it. But to be truly free indeed is what Jesus came to the cross. He came to set us free. That means a release from bondage, to remove restrictions of sin and darkness that we might find ourselves in, to be delivered into true spiritual liberty and growth. Do you want that this morning? Because that's what we want for you. We want you to live into that freedom. Where's my guy, Rick? He's always yelling freedom when we say it. But he wants you to live in freedom. Thank you. He wants you to live in that freedom that Jesus sets you free from the stuff that bogs you down. Today we're going to look at mindsets. We're going to think about mindsets. So think about this. When you, on a daily basis, when we're liberated and shackled and bound, all these different mindsets and the negativity, do you have that in your life? Am I the only one? I know I'm not. But consider this. When you wake up in the morning, whether it's your phone or the old school alarm clock, I don't know if you have the old one with the two bells on the top. I don't know who has that. But when that alarm goes off, whatever style fits you, when that alarm goes off, do you get up or do you just kind of like hit it or throw it across the room? What do you do, right? You jump off the bed and say, good morning, I'm up. You know, be careful, Satan, not today. Or you're like, I'm going to just snooze a little bit, right? It's a mindset. When we go out to eat, we did this last night with Mel when I went out to eat as Neo was getting his hair cut. You can see her Instagram for more photos. we're at a restaurant and we're saying, okay, what's my choice going to be? Am I going to choose to get like something healthy or I'm going to go with bacon and cheese and a meatball with mozzarella? That's what I did. What are we going to do? Are these the choices that we make on a daily basis? How about finances? As Sam beautifully stated, like if we're truly free and we're walking in freedom, we're going to give out of worship. And we're going to give because of these beautiful kids have a place to come. Or are we just kind of stingy? Don't tell me what to do with my money, Pastor. What's our choices we're going to do? And so we get stuck in the same mindsets, don't we? I'm guilty of that. I've had three Achilles tendon surgeries, and I keep making excuses why I can't get back to working out. It's tough, so back off. But I have to get back and work out. I got to make choices that are healthy for me, for my wife, for my kids, and Lord willing, grandkids down the way, right? So, but we get stuck in these mindsets. We can go to zero to negative like that, can't we? We get stuck in these things. There was the speaker, funny speaker, a Christian thinker named Jonathan Acuff, and he said this one time at a conference I went to, thinking about negative mindsets. He says, 1,000 compliments plus one negative insult equals one negative insult. And I don't know about you, but that's kind of where I live. I could have all of you come up and go, I needed to hear that, Pastor. And then one of you critique me, and I'm like, Mel, guess what this person said? I'll go there real quick. Why is that? Are you like that? Am I the only one? No. But we go to the negative so quick. We're predisposed by that. And there's a reason that we get stuck. We get stuck in these negative mindsets. Jesus came and went to the cross to give us freedom, but we get stuck in these negative mindsets so easy. And so he's come to provide real spiritual transformation for us. It's available to us. But we have to be willing to begin and say, okay, it's going to start in my mind. It's going to start in my mind. We're prone to stinking thinking. We're prone to stinking thinking. The question is, why aren't we experiencing the set-free life that comes through a life in a relationship with Jesus that God designed for us? And here's the biggest reason why, is that you do what you do because of what you think of you. I'll say that again. You do what you do because of what you think of you. So how you have this belief system, how you view yourself, how you look in the mirror, whatever that is, that determines the direction you'll go in your life. The relationships that you surround yourself with determine the direction of your life. And so here's what it is. You think and do what you do because of how you think of you. And that's an important thing. So I just want you to begin this morning. Here's the tension. Here's the question. Here's the struggle. Is that I know you don't want to be in the negative. We don't want to go to the negative. But the reality is this, is that we do. And it's so hard. It's easier said than done, isn't it? We can put all kinds of Christianese all over that as we want, right? But it's hard. And so, but here's the thing. We're going to do this. Here's our big idea. We'll be free spiritually from destructive mindsets by these things. These are going to bring transformation to us by the name of Jesus. By the name of Jesus, it's going to be consistent with his nature and his character and his purposes for your life. By the blood of Jesus, which we sang about beautifully today. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. It sets us free by the blood of Jesus. And then finally, by the word of God. By the word of God, God's truth. That there's an enemy of our souls that wants to distract us and tell us that we're not and we're not good enough. But God's word says different. And God's word replaces the lies with his truth. And he is the truth, the logos, and the truth. And so here's the thing. We are in a generation where people are suffering. Young people are suffering. At any other time in history, the idea of depression and anxiety and panic attacks are through the roof. If you don't believe me, just Google the statistics. It'll blow your mind. And so here's the thing. A lot of people will say, well, that's just like there's something going on with them and they need medication. Perhaps they do, and perhaps they need to go to a doctor. Now, I'm all for that, by the way. 12 years of counseling in this guy, so I'm all for it. But when here's the thing is that depression and anxiety are not malfunctions of the mind. It's a signal that something needs help in us. No, so for instance, in my Kia, right, a real nice ride, in my Kia, there's a light on there that says service due, past due, it probably should say. I need an oil change. And so it lights up every time and it annoys me. I'm like, I got to get to it. But my Achilles, I'm making excuses, all this other stuff, right? But when we have this depression and anxiety and these thoughts, it's not something that's wrong in you. It's just something that needs help. We need to process. We need to go to God, right? We need to maybe seek counseling. We need to seek professional help from a medical doctor, whatever that is, right? It's not because you don't have enough faith or any of that nonsense, but it's just something that's inside of us. That we need help, something needs fixed. And so when we go to God, it's like a check engine light in our hearts that we can get the help that you need. Go get the help psychologically, get that. I'm telling you to do that. But here's the other thing, I also want you to know what happens to you is spiritual, that there's negative mindsets that are in us, that we're predisposed of because of Genesis chapter 3,
The condition of man is prone and bent towards sin. And so that's where these negative mindsets come from. And so, okay, so you're not alone. You're not by yourself. I'm telling you that it's an important thing. So there's a battleground for our minds. There's such a battleground for our minds that we are tempted to believe that if we just do these certain things or we work, we sang about it. We just sang about it. It's only by the blood that you'll be set free. All the stuff that you can try to do, there's some things you can do, but here's the thing. It's by the blood of Jesus that we'll be set free. I'm afraid that there's a lot of people that think that they're identified by their illness or their past or their family or the location where they grew up. And the reality is this, is that you're not identified by your illness or your past. It has shaped you, no doubt, but that's not who you are. You are identified because you are a child of God and that Jesus loves you and he went to the cross for you and he shed his blood for you, right? It's not who I am, but it's where I am right now. It's understanding that you're identifying that mindset. It begins with that mindset. There's something wrong. I need a reset, a hard reset, as Pastor Rick said 2 weeks ago. I need a hard reset in my life. The check engine light is going off. There's some negative thoughts. I need to identify what those thoughts are and surrender them at the foot of the cross. Just put them right here, spiritually. Just surrender it to the cross. And so that's what we want to do, is that we want to identify those negative mindsets that are there, that I understand our identity is in Christ and not your stuff. It shaped you, I get it, believe me. It shaped me as well. But I didn't stay there. I kept moving because of Jesus. I kept moving because of Jesus. Now, in the Bible, there are other people who struggled as we do. The prototype guy, the oldest book in the Bible is Job, right? Job struggled. Job struggled a lot. Jesus, of course, struggled. Paul, the Apostle Paul, suffered as well. In 2 Corinthians 1, 6 through 8, it says, even when I was weighed down with troubles, it is your comfort and your salvation. For when ourselves are comforted, we are certainly comforted from you, and then you will patiently endure the things we suffer. Verse 7, we are confident that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in the comfort that God gives us. And so here's the thing, that Jesus in his own words said, that in this life you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That being a Christian is not the easiest thing, I can say that, but it's the best thing. And so when we're facing these negative mindsets and these thoughts that kind of take us into the dark, let's realize that we're not alone here. You're not by yourself, because we tend to go from zero to negative real quick, and then we go, I'm all by myself, don't we? Have you ever been there? I know I have. So here's what mindsets do. The reasons we do what we do is that we have a pattern of bad decisions and choices. Have you ever done that? I just talked about my meatball hoagie. Things that happen to us, they leave an imprint on us. They leave an imprint on us. Things that have happened, bad relationships, something your parents did or your brother or sister did to you. It leaves an imprint on us. We learn destructive thought processes. I am prone because of how I grew up. I'm just telling you, I'll be honest with you right now. I'm prone to go to the negative so quick. This person doesn't like me. Why? Because that's how I grew up. And so I have to constantly check myself, and then I thank the Lord for my wife, who's probably like, I'm so over it. But she helps me. She helps me get through there. Pastor Gary's helped me, and I've had conversations with others. But here's the thing. We've learned these destructive thought processes because of how we grew up. And so we want to be liked. We want people to like us. And I think that's an okay thing. But when it drives us and captures our attention, and it takes us into a direction that we don't want to have. But our biggest motivator for our identity is that we think of ourselves, right? Our identity is what we think of ourselves, continually. How do you think of yourselves? Proverbs 23:7 says this, for as a man thinketh, so a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And so what happens when we have this miscalculation? When we think of ourselves of like, well, I'm just a kid from Beaver Falls, I'm never gonna get out of here. That's a miscalculation, that's stinking thinking. And so that's a miscalculation. And so if you want to change what you do, you have to change what you think of you. You have to change how you think of yourself. Do you look at yourself as somebody that is just all messed up? And like, we're all broken, we all fall in short, but here's the thing, we have to see ourselves as we are a child of God, that Jesus went to the cross for us. And that's how we have to see ourselves over and over and commit to say, God, I want you to transform me. I want to be free. I want to be free of all these thoughts and all these negative things that hold me back. But here's the thing, we need to commit and endure with patience. It's not like a microwave where you just put it in, okay, God, I need set free from this. It takes time. Sanctification is a word that means a process. It's an ongoing process in life. This side of eternity, it's a process. It's ongoing. If you struggle with anger, it's a process. If you struggle with lust, it's a process. But it is a commitment to getting better and surrendering your life each day and being set free from those things that hold you back. There's an enemy of our souls. What happens to us is spiritual. It isn't just potholes in the road or, you know, paying taxes, whatever it is. But the enemy tells us lies. The enemy of our souls, the devil, Satan, wants to divert us from your purpose and your destiny. So if God has this straight path for you, sometimes it's like this over mountains, a creek, and it's all over the place. But sometimes Satan's going to try to divert your path. He's going to try to take you in a different direction that you never intended to go. Oh, this looks fun. And he's going to take you a different way. But the enemy of your souls is going to try to twist your mind and divert your path and your destiny for what he wants for you. He's going to distract you from hearing God's voice. You ever pray sometime that you're just praying and you just hear, it's quiet, and then you're just starting to think like, I got to go take this to the store, pick it up for this. I got to pick up the kids. I start hearing things when I'm trying to, so I get distracted. How about this? Relationships are destroyed. The enemy wants to destroy relationships that matter to you. That's been the case in my life. There have been relationships utterly obliterated by the enemy. And I pray to God that he would redeem those relationships, and I believe he will at some point. In John chapter 8, verses 44 through 45, it says this, therefore you are the children of the father, the devil. You are loved to do the evil things that he does. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he has always hated the truth. Because there is no truth in him, where he lies, it is consistent with his character. Satan's character is consistent because it leads you to destruction and diversion and disunity and all these different things. That's who his character is. For he is a liar. He is the father of lies. Did you hear that? This is the guy that is trying to get into our head. This is the guy that is trying to tell us we are not enough, that you're not a good mother, you're not a good father. This is the father of lies who wants to see us taken out. So when I tell you the truth, you just naturally don't believe me. Because why? We're naturally bent towards sin because of the happening in Genesis 3. And so here's the thing. The enemy can't determine. We can't determine the truth from the lie because of what the enemy does. We just see things, okay? So the enemy is a liar. He's going to tell you things that you, he wants you to have this new identity and this new perspective. And he wants you to see yourself in a different light. And so he begins to tell us this thing. The enemy, the devil, the enemy of our souls hates us and wants to destroy us. And so he's going to do those things to take us away from the authority of Christ in our lives. Do you feel that in your life tonight, today? Have you ever felt it like in the last couple weeks? Have you ever felt that? That there's something going on? Because there is. And so we need to surrender that, those negative thoughts. Because here's the thing, is that as we get used to these negative thoughts, Jesus is saying, I've come to show you that you don't have to go into this relationship with the devil. You don't have to believe these lies. You have to go into this relationship with me, okay? So we're used to these negative thoughts. The negative thoughts, I will always be addicted. I will never get ahead at work. I will never going to be enough for such and such. These are negative thoughts that are just lies from the devil. Did you hear that this morning? Somebody needs to hear this. Somebody needs to hear this. Because you think that you're not enough, and the enemy of your soul wants to take you out. And I want to tell you today, because of what Jesus did in his blood, that you could be set free from that. There's a distortion of this reality that's sabotaging our maturity and our success and our progress from who God wants us to be. And so as we realize that, we just think, I need to surrender my life. I need to identify those things and say, is this true? Does this line up with Scripture? Is this who God says I am? And you will come to find it is not, right? You are a child of God. You are dearly loved. He loves you with an everlasting love. And so the enemy of our souls, the devil, wants to distort your identity, where Jesus wants to come and give you freedom and give you identity in him. Ephesians 5, 8 through 9 says this, for once you were, say once, for once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and true and right. Okay, so you were once in darkness. There was a time in my life before Jesus I was in darkness. Then on August 9th, 1990, I accepted Jesus. He came into my life. He chose, and things changed. And there was this process of that happened in my life, right? So we were once in darkness. You were once in darkness. You don't have to stay in darkness. Some of you are living as if you're still in darkness. And Jesus came to pull you and draw you to the light in a relationship with him. Do you know that this morning? He wants to have a relationship with you. Because God is here. God is, there's a light inside you that just drives out that darkness. Will you mess up? Will you do things that upset your spouse? Yes, tell them, Mel. Yes, you will. Thank you, Juanita. But there's a light. There's a light that is Jesus that is inside us, that is greater than the devil. And we have to accept that and live in that freedom. Do you want that this morning? There's a great quote by author, pastor Charles Swindoll. He says, life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. Whew, that's tough. 90% how you react to it. That's my case. I can tell, this quote is, I'm speaking to me first here. There's reactions that I got to keep in check, the negative thoughts, because of how I was brought up, because of sin, because of all, whatever. It's how I respond. It's how you respond. How do you respond to the things that are going on in your life right now? Are you spastic? Are you kind of all over the map? Are you kind of surrendered or centered in Christ? He wants you to respond as if you understand who he is. And so we have this. And so to have be spiritually set free, we have to understand that there's the name of Jesus, there's the blood of Jesus, and there was the word of truth, the word of God in our lives. And so the name of Jesus, they're not magical words like abracadabra. Remember that back in the day? But Jesus' name, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in his name. It's consistent with his nature and who he is. As the winds and the nature of elements and things like that, when the storms rose, when the disciples were on the Sea of Galilee, even nature obeyed the name of Jesus. Then we have this. Then we have this: the spiritual forces, demons and spiritual possessions, that they recognize Jesus, and the very name of Jesus made them shudder. And we don't even do that sometimes. I'm not trying to take you on a guilt trip. But ultimately, here's the thing. Scripture says this in Philippians 2:10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and in heaven, on earth, under earth, that every knee is going to bow at the name of Jesus. Then you think about that. We've been philosophers who said God is dead and mock Jesus. That Jesus has been driven out of society for the most part. But one day, every knee will bow at the name of Jesus. In Luke 10, it says the demons, 72, returned with joy, the disciples, and said this, Lord, even the demons are subject to your name. So as he sent out the disciples, they cast out demons and they said the name of Jesus. The demons shuddered and shook and they came back and gave a report to Jesus. Do you know that this morning? That in your stinking thinking and your negative thoughts, that the name of Jesus can help you. Amen. Crying out to him, seeking him, starting with him, right? And so Jesus is his name means so much. Jesus is speaking truth about us. He's saying this, that you're no longer distorted. You can become who he says you are. That you're no longer broken. You can become more than what you think you are. Right? He can show you and take you to places that you never thought. I've been to Haiti. I never thought I was going to go to Haiti. Right? I've been to Israel. I mean, he's taken me all over the places. I've had relationships within the church that are just beautiful. That only comes through a life of submitting to him. The same can happen to you. So Jesus is moving us in the powerful name of Jesus. Cry out to him. Take your thoughts and say, Jesus, I need you. I need you. So he wants to give us a Christ-centered identity that leads to honoring habits in our lives. And I know when we go to stinking thinking, it could take us into isolation and other bad habits. The second thing is we're trying to deal with these, to get free from these negative thoughts, is when we plead the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, right? Jesus did not die on the cross so that I would cope with my problems and have an average existence in this life. that he wanted me to be free, free indeed. He wanted you to be free, free indeed. He didn't go to the cross so we can just get by and Charlie Brown walk everywhere. You think that's what he came for? Or did you come to have you set free to do mighty things in his name, right? To make an impact and a difference in this world, to set captives free. That's why he came. That's why he came, so you could have this freedom in his name. And so his blood, Jesus comes, he goes to the cross, and his sacrificial death becomes that way that cleanses us from that sin problem. He makes a way for us to have a relationship with the Father. In Revelation 12:11, it says this, "And then they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb, and by their testimony, they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die." And so these early Christians were pleading the blood of Jesus. They knew that even if they took their lives, the Romans took their lives, they knew that Jesus' blood would save them. Do you know that this morning, that the blood of Jesus can set you free? As we take communion, we will say that often. The blood of Christ sets you free. It's a reminder for us, as we're dealing with our negative thoughts, we're dealing with our habits, that Christ wants to set us free from those things. Point three is this, that the word of God, his truth, is there to replace the schemes and the lies of the enemy. Christ identifies and sets who we are. Romans 8, 31 through 32, it says this, "So Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" And so to know is like, I can know, like I've been to New York City. I've been to the Statue of Liberty. I know what it's like to go there. I know the smell, the weird smell, okay? I can experience it. I know that in my heart, in my mind. And so there's this truth that in God's word that we can experience because of what Jesus did on the cross. We can know experientially who he is, and that the word of God, that God will do what he says he will do, and he will follow through because of his character. We can rely on that. It's constant, the same yesterday, today, and forever. How about this? As we think about the word of God, Psalm 119 says this. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path." So he's lighting our ways. That is, if we get stuck in this negative thinking, we're supposed to go to his word. Let me ask you this morning, are you in God's word? Are you in God's word on a regular basis? So in order to get to know who God is, you got to get into his word. That's one of the ways. It's not a dutiful thing that you, but it truly is an act of worship. That's how we get to understand who God is. By understanding who God is, we get to know who we are, and we can get to go out and tell others about it. And so that is a beautiful thing there. So the word of God who identifies and gives you that purpose and identity. And as we look at the word of God, we're to pray, right? Prayer is communication with God and confrontation with the enemy. And so as we've been battling these last couple weeks of just prayer and fasting, there's an enemy that's trying to distract us. And our hope and prayer this morning is we're going to have a time of prayer coming up here. But I want you to think about this, is that as we begin to pray about those negative mindsets, my hope and prayer is that you leave here this morning and you begin to wrestle this week. And identify, even you grab a journal or a thing in your phone, but write down those negative thoughts and begin to process, where do those come from? And then say, write them down and then surrender them to God. That's my hope and prayer for you. There's a saying that we say here, it says, start with who before do. Start with who before do. And so we're gonna start with who we are and who God is before we start doing the stuff. Instead of focusing and trying harder, you're going to run yourselves. It's not what we're called to do. Try harder, right? It's more than that, right? Focus on who you are and who do you want to become in Christ. Do you want to be set free? Do you want to be set free from the negative mindsets? I know that I do. I'm sick of it. I am. I'm sick of it today. I can confess and be a witness. I am sick of these negative mindsets. That it is something I have been working on constantly, even before we started getting into this sermon series. That I need to start with who I am and where I'm going, and I need to focus on who God is before I start doing the stuff, right? Writing the things down, getting my word, praying, having community. The other thing with negative thoughts is we begin to isolate ourselves. That's dangerous. We're not called to do that. We're meant for community. You're meant to do life with one another. That's a Christianese saying that came from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. that they were called to do life together in the face of opposition or in great joy. They're called to do life together. So we're to start with who we are. Start with the Christ-centered reality. Do you know who you are in Christ? I want to become a mom or a dad who is holy and intentional and fully present. Is that what you want? I'm a man that will lay down my life to serve my wife and kids. That's what I want. I am someone who is sober and has a testimony because of the power of Christ. And I'm going to share that. I'm a person who doesn't skip workouts and walks. I got to do that. I'm a Christian who reads the Word of God daily. Read the Word of God. Become a lifelong student, not to puff yourself up, but get to know who God is and who you are. I'm a person that puts God first with my finances and every part of my life. And I'm a disciplined person because of Christ in me. That's what we're called to do. That's what freedom looks like. That's what we're called to do as believers. Start with who before do. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 through 24, it's a beautiful verse. I'm going to invite Aaron and Mackenzie up and the prayer team. But it's a reference. Paul says this, and he's talking about dealing with hang-ups and strongholds and negative thoughts. And he says this, that in reference to your former way of life or your former manner of life, lay aside the old self. Do you remember who you were before Jesus? Do you remember that person? Does it make you shudder? In reference to your former manner of life, lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of the deceit, and that you, by renewed in the spirit of your mind, put on the new self, like putting on a coat. This is your likeness of God, that you've been created in righteousness and holiness and truth, that we're called to have these renewed minds and renewed mindsets. Do you know that this morning? That God wants to set you free from those negative mindsets, those things that you're dealing with. Maybe your mind is full of clutter right now. God says, I want you to take that and surrender it to me. Is your faith struggling right now because of these negative mindsets? Well, today, this morning, is a time for you to come up and get prayer. Pray with somebody. Do business with God. Don't leave here continually taking those mindsets like holding a big anchor over your back. He doesn't want you. He wants you to let that down. Let go and let God. Who are you? How do you see yourself? I've said this before. Max Lucado said that if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. God loves you. God loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you as your sons and daughters. But we give in to the negative mindset so quick. If you surrendered to Jesus, if you surrendered your life to Jesus, this is what could happen. You could pass from death to life. You were God's workmanship created for good works. You have a purpose. You were the light of the world. You were salt of the earth. You're a new creation, a son and a daughter, an ambassador to represent him in this world. Do you know that? You are not who the devil says you are. You're not who your friends say you are. You're not who your family says you are. You're who God says you are. He wants to set you free. He wants to set you free this morning. And so I'm going to invite you to stand. I'm going to invite the ushers to get in place. But if you want to be set free from negative mindsets and excuses and old habits and your old self, we're going to invite you to come forward and plead the name of Jesus. Plead the blood of Jesus over these things and surrender them to him so that you can get set free and have a life of freedom and abundance in heaven, victory. Amen? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray in this time that we would not just sit there in these seats, but we'd actually do business. Each one of us has negative mindsets that we need to pray about and surrender to you. So I pray as people come forward now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would move in a mighty way, that it would fall fresh upon us, that, Lord, you would set us free, that in the name of Jesus, we would be set free because of the blood of Jesus, that we're cleansed from all unrighteousness, and that your word is the truth that replaces the lies of the enemy. So, Father, help us as a people to find an identity and our purpose and our plan in you, and not who the devil says we are or who others in our past say we are, but we would truly embrace who you call us to be, that we're truly set free and we're free indeed. So, Father, bless this time of prayer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come forward. Don't wait.